producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report with Big Al and Corey Fleck. We're starting out the show today with Chris Martinson. Chris is currently researching and about ready to put out what I would call an important paper on what's going on in Syria right now. And Chris does, I would have to say, some of the best research of anybody who I know. Now, Syria happens to be a very big hot button for me. I'm very intrigued with what's going on over there. And the reason I say that, Chris, is because I think it's a stark example of Putin causing Obama to blink first. And I really believe that. I mean, the United States supposedly have some very strong convictions about Assad, and Putin has some very strong convictions about Assad, and where we stand right now, the Russians are really, you know, winning the day, for lack of better terms. Before we get into that, though, tell us a little bit about your overall assessment about what's going on in Syria and what it conceivably could evolve into.
Well, it's a mess, Al, and the reason it's a mess, you know, I like context. So let me go back to something that, you know, it was on Democracy Now! General Wesley Clark had an interview with Amy Goodman, and he said, look, this was back in 2007. He said, look, I was in the Pentagon 10 days after 9/11. So it's about the 20th of September, 2001. And a general calls him in and shows him a memo that describes how the United States was going to take out seven countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq, then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, finishing off with Iran. We had a master plan for reshaping the Middle East. So I've known that that master plan was in place for a long time because I followed the Iraq war very carefully, knew that there was it wasn't bad intelligence. We lied about the existence of weapons of mass destruction to justify that war. Now, I don't know why the United States feels it has to stir up that whole region, but this has nothing to do with the United States being concerned about the democratic rights of the people of Syria to choose a different leader. It has nothing to do with whether we think Assad is really a good man or a bad man. It's part of a plan we've had to sort of stir up the whole region. Now, unlike Iraq, which at least had the fig leaf of a UN resolution, we have no such resolution for Syria. We have no legitimate authority to be in there to do anything, not overflying the country, dropping weapons, any of that. Russia, I think, has more of a legitimate interest because, A, they were invited into the country by Assad, so that's one government inviting another. That's kind of how international things work. But, two, Russia is very concerned about having Islamic jihadist fundamentalism arise on its borders. It had a horrible time with Chechnya. And you might notice or may have noticed that one of the key leaders of ISIS is a Chechen. You know, there's a lot of people in Syria who the United States is calling rebels or freedom fighters who are anything but. They're mercenaries. They're jihadists. They're drawn from all over the region. They've been imported into Syria to make trouble. They've been making a lot of trouble. The United States has made noises about how we're trying to fight ISIS, but we weren't serious about it. Look what we were bombing in the campaign. Russia came in, really dialed that up, really actually started to do some serious bombing, did some major damage to that hodgepodge of rebels that the United States has been supporting. And so you're right. Obama has a choice now, and he's chosen to put some boots on the ground. He's chosen to put more weapons in the hands of these so-called rebels, but I'll call them mercenaries or jihadists up in the north of Syria. And so this is an escalating situation, and you're seeing now members of Congress signing letters, going on CNN saying, hey, whoa, maybe we shouldn't just like slide into another undeclared war in the Middle East. Maybe we should talk about this. That's some of the context that I'm trying to get across in this piece.
Chris, do you think the U.S. anticipated Russia's move here and the strength that they've shown in that area?
It seems to have caught people by surprise, although I don't know why it should have. You know, particularly after all the poking that happened over there in Ukraine. Again, you know, Russia had very clear, compelling interest to support that area. So Russia's been flexing itself militarily more and more. We're seeing lots of different bomber testings and overflights. We're seeing more sub-activity. There's more naval activity. So Russia is generally coming up and out and becoming more militarily responsive at this point in time. And so in that pattern, it shouldn't have been a surprise to anybody that if they were going to come into Syria, that they would come in with force and they would be effective. What was surprising was how effective they were compared to the United States and NATO, who claimed to be fighting ISIS, but actually we don't know what they were doing because they certainly weren't attempting to hit any legitimate targets, it seems.
You know, I think one big difference, Chris, between, and this may sound a bit simplistic, but I think it's very, very true and very important to realize, and that is, for some reason, the United States, through the administration, wants to be politically correct, okay? I mean, you never hear anything negative about the terrorists, and I don't believe Obama will even use the word terrorist, and Russia doesn't really care. Russia realizes it has to protect its borders, it has to protect its country. Vladimir Putin and his colleagues could care less about political correctness. You know, Russians have never been a particularly politically correct people, and that is a big difference. And I have to tell you, I have to applaud them for that. How about you?
Well, I agree. You know, I was talking with a former three-star general a couple of weeks back, and he was mentioning that he was actually in charge of part of the air campaign in Iraq. And he said, look, you know, we had all these armies of lawyers who were there looking over our shoulders to make sure that if we were going to target something, that there was going to be as little collateral damage as possible. You know, there couldn't be any civilian deaths. So they really felt, he said he felt really hamstrung operationally a lot. And, you know, key targets got away. They weren't allowed to do certain things. So it was kind of a funny way to run a campaign. I don't think Putin has any such reservations. And by the way, he's dealt with Islamic terrorists in a way that I think if we had to deal with them in the same way here on our own soil, we would change our rules of engagement to that whole business in Georgia, in Chechnya, just awful. And I think he learned, and Russia has learned the lessons, that you either go after your adversaries hard or don't bother. Right. So that's really my view of Russia is, you know, if they're going to come in and do something, it's going to happen. And I think there's less, you might call it political correctness around that, but he knows he's dealing with some really, really horrible people, as if the news reports in this country didn't you know, justify that. The ISIS people, obviously bad, you know, burning people alive in cages and doing all that awful stuff. But the al-Nusra front, which isn't an al-Qaeda front, just awful atrocities when they would come through, lots of documented ones. And they've even posted some online on videos coming into villages. And it's like my lie all over again. These are the people that we're supporting directly and indirectly through our efforts.
Now, Chris, do you think it is a positive that Russia is taking this kind of stance? They almost seem like, from what you're saying, to be the experts in the area and actually know how to deal with this issue.
Well, you know, this is part of the context. If we rewind this, it was all the way back in 2011 that Russia brokered a deal where Assad would agree to a transition of power. There was a UN delegation that was in the process of brokering that. And that agreement was all set up and ready to go. And the United States scuttled the deal because we thought we could get Assad out by other means. So there was a peaceful transition that was available at one point in time. I don't know whether it would have succeeded or not, but it was an option that the United States openly said, nah, we're going to go, you know, this other route, which is arming the rebels, so-called rebels, bringing mercenaries in and seeing if we can unseat him militarily. So it feels to me like the United States has one and only one option on the table at all times. It's a big wooden club. And I think that what Putin's a little bit more confident at, he's shown that he's capable of diplomacy. He defused the so-called sarin gas attack a number of years ago. He's generally been playing a very different game, which includes diplomacy. So it's kind of like the United States is playing chess, but we only have bishops. You know, he's got horses and rooks. So we're just not playing quite the same game here.
Stick around. We're going to be right back with Chris Martin.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lungs. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
My name is Bill Bonner, and I have an important message. Right now, the highest levels of government are struggling against an inevitable crisis, but they're about to lose control. When this happens, it will rip our country apart in ways you never imagined, from where we shop to the family you want to protect. Look, I've made predictions like this before. A few years ago, I warned that the housing prices would collapse. Before that, I warned that dot-com companies would crash, and they did. Those who listened had a chance to save themselves, but this has nothing to do with the stock market. This will affect us all. I've posted a free video at disappearingdollar.com. Maybe you'll disagree with my conclusions, but first you need to watch this video and see the facts for yourself. You can watch the video for free right now by going to disappearingdollar.com. Again, that's disappearingdollar.com.
Hey, Berkey Guy here. Are you still drinking unfiltered tap water? Does your water contain chlorine or fluoride? Will you have drinkable water in an emergency? The Berkey Guy is here to help you remove these and other potential contaminants from your water, thus helping you drink clean, purified water. We offer Berkey water purification systems at the lowest available prices online. Don't go another moment without Berkey system. Over the last 10 years, we've helped thousands drink clean, purified water. Join them by visiting goberkey.com or call me, the Berkey Guy, at 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 pain relief hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
It's time to kick some ash, because cigarettes have met their match. Smokers are switching to Vapriot e-liquid by LeSig, because when you kick ash, you kick tar and smelly smoke too. LeSig smokes the competition with real people customer service, a 7-day satisfaction guarantee, and same-day fast free shipping. Become a vapor today at LeSig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeSig e-cigarettes, kick some ash.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Alrighty, welcome back. Continuing our discussion with Chris Martinson about a major paper he's about ready to put out on his evaluation of the Syrian situation. I have to tell you, Chris, you know, your comment about, you know, fighting an enemy with one hand tied behind your back, and in our case, in many instances, two hands tied behind your back, is absolutely ridiculous. Political correctness, when it comes to the Middle East, could absolutely scuttle anything that we try to do. And I believe you think that's maybe what's going on in Syria to an extent. Am I correct?
It is at least part of what's going on there. But I have to tell you, Al, I'm confused as to why the United States feels it has any right, duty, obligation, or interest in saying who is the president of Syria is. That part is still confusing to me.
Well, I'm not really sure why why that's going on. I think it goes back to the administration's view about what actually is going on in the Middle East. I mean, the Syrian situation can be expanded to look at how the U.S. is handling the situation with Iran, to look at how the U.S. is handling the situation with Israel, and it goes on and on and on. I think the U.S. policy right now in the Middle East is lacking, to say the least. I mean, it makes no sense to me, Chris. How about you?
Well, it really doesn't make any sense from a U.S.-centered perspective. I don't see what the United States' interests are here. It feels like there's a lot of potential downside, not a lot of upside. So it really doesn't seem to be in our best interest. But, you know, you look at what happened with Libya, for instance. It's not in the people's interest either. So somehow NATO decided that, Muammar Gaddafi had to go. Say what you will about the guy, but he was, of all the people in all of the Middle East, did the most for redirecting oil revenues back to the people. So for food, education, housing, healthcare, all of those things were reasonably well taken care of under him. He had a real sense of duty to the people. He maybe wasn't liked in all quarters. I get that. You know, welcome to the reality of being part of a heterogeneous culture. But for some reason, you know, we decided that we had to take him out. NATO came in and provided air cover for his opposition. He gets taken out, and now the place is just a downright mess. And again, I don't understand what the compelling interest was to get him out, or why we felt we should just get him out and then walk away and leave the country, you know, basically a ruined mess. So that's why it feels like it's a policy that's hard to get your arms around. The average American is going to have a very difficult time understanding or explaining this, because there's some other driving narrative that we're not privy to. They don't tell us about it. All the State Department ever tells us is, oh, that's a bad guy. Like, it's the United States' role to get bad guys out. That's not it. We don't really care. There's lots of bad guys we don't do anything about. There's some other policy operating in the Middle East, and you could be forgiven for thinking it looks like let's break it and leave it in a broken state, because so far that's exactly what's happened in every country we've gone into.
It is interesting to see this continued move of the U.S. to continue to destabilize different countries in the Middle East. And as you mentioned, Chris, it's hard for some of the Americans, actually probably most Americans, to wrap their head around or truly understand. Do you think most Americans are even paying attention to what's going on over there?
Well, no, I don't. And, you know, why would you want to? It's such a mess. But for those who are, if you're getting your news from the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times, et cetera, you are going to be pretty well misinformed on this whole thing at this point in time. I've been absolutely astonished at their use of what I consider to be grade school propaganda. So, you know, an article should disseminate the facts. But when you read an article that calls Assad's government a regime, and that's a loaded word, right? Why wouldn't we say the Assad government? Well, it's a regime. Well, we take regimes out. And then you read about rebels instead of mercenaries or jihadists. You know, all of these sort of grade school things, they're just loaded through all the articles. So we know that there's a concerted effort right now to sell to the American people this idea that we need to be over there engaged militarily doing these sorts of things. And what's interesting is, you know, there are 150 congresspeople who signed a letter to Obama saying, time out. You should not be doing anything in Syria. This is an undeclared illegal war, and you have to go through Congress for that. So we're seeing that there's, like, legitimate, realistic opposition, bipartisan, to say we shouldn't really be doing this. But I have the sense there's a juggernaut. There's just some military machine that's just gets wielded. And whether that's presidential executive overreach that sort of got enshrined under Bush II and Obama's carried it on, or there's some other factors at play. I don't know what it is yet, but here's my concern, and this is the substance of why I go through all this context. The chance for an accidental encounter now between Russia and the United States and or NATO is increasing by these moves. The United States is openly talking about, according to a Wall Street Journal article that came out yesterday, supplying man pads, these portable anti-aircraft missiles to the so-called, we're going to get them in the hands of, air quotes here, the moderate rebels, right? Somehow we're going to be able to control what happens to these Stingers and other things like that when we get them out there. These are very dangerous escalations. Russia never returned that favor to us when we were in Afghanistan. We supplied Stingers to the opposition groups when Russia was in Afghanistan. They never did that back to us. That changes the character of a theater of operations hugely. If we do that, you know, you can guarantee yourself that the next thing that Russia does is they're going to supply Iran with some really sophisticated hardware, and they've already made moves. The S-300 missile, which is very much feared by aviators everywhere, could be in the hands of Iran before long. That will complicate any possible bombing plans that we might have around Iran. And so on and so forth. But if this turns out that we supply weapons that end up killing Russians, how will Russia respond? This is an open question. It deserves a very high degree of debate. It deserves some intelligent, rational, adult weighing of the pros and cons. Mm-hmm. But somehow I feel like we're just headed into it without really talking about it.
Is Israel, in your mind, playing a role in this thing? Many people think they are. And based on your study, what conclusions have you come to, if any?
Oh, of course they are. Absolutely. Of course they are. Israel has a very, very compelling interest in things unfolding in the way they are. Israel's been very open about it. Netanyahu was a signatory on a document that stretches back to the mid-90s that basically outlined if they could have the Middle East sort of fractured and broken and fighting amongst itself, that would be great for Israel's interests. And it's happening. So we whether that's coincidence or more steering, we don't, you know, we can debate that all we want. But it is happening. And the second thing is Israel is a big believer in never let a good crisis go to waste. So sort of locked out and blocked out of the news is all of the recent expansions of Israel into the Gaza, Golan Heights, all those other places where they're really pushing to consolidate, move settlers in, push Palestinians out under the cover, as it were, of the wider conflict, creating some cover for that. So Israel's absolutely hip deep in this, no question about it. So that's just part of the story.
Chris, it's always great chatting with you, and clearly you are very informed in this topic. It's a topic that I find kind of disheartening to continue to chat about because it seems to be one country after the other, kind of like what we said, this continued destabilization of the Middle East with no real end game that I see. And now it seems like more and more countries are getting drawn into these continuing conflicts, and I don't think that's good in general, and I really wish that things would settle down, but it seems like the continuing U.S. power and military force won't really stop.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Thousands of people seeking home security get ripped off every day, and the home security industry wants you to believe that's your only option. They've got hordes of salesmen out there trying to scare you into signing one of their long-term contracts. You get stuck writing huge checks month after month with no way out. It's robbery by contract, and it can cost you thousands. But there's a better way to protect your home. Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe has no contracts. None. You'll get award-winning 24/7 protection. Security professionals watching over your home, ready to instantly send police to the rescue for just $14.99 per month. That's less than half what most companies charge. Protect your home the smart way. Visit SimplySafeDefense.com today for an exclusive 10% offer and get a free keychain remote worth $25. Only when you go to SimplySafeDefense.com. SimplySafeDefense.com.
A lot of people's lives and bodies are out of balance. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops optimize pH level and get rid of harmful waste and acid. Just a few drops in water restores vibrance and energy and gets you back in balance. Now order two bottles and get $10 off your order. Sign up for monthly auto shipping and save 25%. Call 800-518-7615 or visit alkavision.com. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at alkavision.com.
Your house is under attack. Every day our homes and families are attacked by harmful gases, mold, and pollutants caused by everyday activities. According to the EPA, indoor air can be 5 to 100 times worse than outdoor air. And the American Lung Association states that poor indoor air can cause infections and chronic lung diseases such as asthma. Protect your family with a complete indoor air quality package from Wave Home Solutions. Wave ventilation units for basements and crawl spaces reduce moisture that nourishes mold, odors, dust mites, and expels gases and pollutants. Add the Wave 6-stage air purifier to get rid of the viruses, chemicals, and pollutants upstairs for a complete indoor air quality solution. A healthy home is the best investment you can make. Visit WaveHomeSolutions.com. That's WaveHomeSolutions.com. Or call 888-758-WAVE. That's 888-758-WAVE.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Hi, I'm Dr. Sam Nussbaum with the Anthem Foundation. Premature birth is the leading cause of death of babies and disabilities for children. That's why we support the March of Dimes to help mothers have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us in supporting cutting-edge research, treatment and outreach to help moms during their pregnancy and give every baby a healthy start in life. Learn how you can help at marchofdimes.org.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome in, Corey. We've got Valentin Schmidt with us right now. Valentin is a business editor of the Epoch Times, a paper published out of New York City, a very good paper. I want to add, the first question I would like to ask before you jump in is, we're getting some really interesting numbers out of the huge slowdown that's going on in China right now. I mean, month over month, September of this year over September of last year, there was almost a 20% decline in growth. Valentin, any comments on that?
Hi, Al. Well, thanks a lot for being on the show. So I just published a piece today, the five most realistic GDP estimates for China. And I was at a conference yesterday organized by Lombard Street Research. And they basically, their estimate is 1.5% growth annualized quarter on quarter, rather than the roughly 7%, 6.9% that the Chinese regime is advertising. The growth is slowing down big time. And they from Lombard, they say that their estimates, they are more in line with the monetary policy because the Chinese have been cutting rates like crazy, which you don't have to do if the economy grows at 7%, but you do have to do it if it grows at 1% and you have 8 to 10% interest rate, then that's just too high. So they've been cutting and cutting. The problem they have is because they want to have a stable exchange rate, they are suffering from huge capital outflows, and that's another big topic, which may be even more accurate than any of the growth figures you see, is that the Chinese people are just taking their money and running because they don't feel safe in China anymore.
No, Valentin, I want you to address the argument that China's growth is slowing because they are moving towards a more domestic-based economy, and you would expect a slowdown from the huge growth that they were experiencing when they do make this shift. What do you have to say to that?
Well, in principle, of course, that's correct. The problem is that it's not happening because most of the GDP is still made up by investment. Consumption has increased marginally. And obviously, if you look at it, if most people have been employed by the big construction companies or whatever, and they are now hitting a brick wall, then they're not going to have any money to spend. And this this whole argument that the Chinese, they have savings and they're going to spend in a downturn, that's all rubbish because they don't save for fun. They save because there's no social safety net and no healthcare benefits. So they're not going to spend that money. And the employment situation also, we are hearing the first reports from the ground that it's getting worse. So where's the consumer, where's he supposed to come from? Add to that the income is still distributed extremely unequally. So you have a lot of people, a small number of people spending a lot of money, mostly abroad in Vancouver, I've heard, just as an example. And then you have the so-called middle class, which actually is not that big. And they don't make that much money, so to be frank, I don't know where this consumer revival should come from. Many people are pushing it. McKinsey is pushing it. Jack Ma is pushing it. But it doesn't work like flipping a switch, you know. You have to develop this kind of mentality and attitude, and China hasn't simply created enough wealth for the ordinary citizen to become a consumer like an American, because their system of growth was based on corruption and investment spending, where just a small amount of people got incredibly wealthy, and they're stuck at the 6,000-7,000 per capita income, and that just it's just not enough.
Well, it seems to me that we just answered the million-dollar question, Corey, that really relates to you, and that is, you know, there are a huge amount of folks from mainland China now residing in Vancouver, B.C., and actually throughout Canada, and that's even to a very large extent increased in the United States. So you got an awful lot of what I would call expats down there. I mean, you know, American expats used to go to, you know, to France to hang out at coffee shops with Ernest Hemingway, et cetera, et cetera. Well, now we've got, a meaningful population shift from mainland China to the West, specifically to North America.
Yeah, I mean, that's a given, and you have to ask yourself, why are they coming? Certainly not because life is so great in China and the opportunities there abound. And again, if you look at the capital, mm-hmm. I estimate that about $850 billion of capital left China in the first 9 months of the year. And so that means there's no opportunity. So the risk is too high in China at the current rate, which is still higher, much higher than the West at, you know, 0%, and the people still think it's not worth it. So that tells you how bad the situation really is.
One interesting development that has come out of China recently, too, is they have begun, or I guess started selling or divulging more of their U.S. investments. People have said that this would really bring down the U.S. Markets and all that if China did start dumping treasuries onto the markets. They're not dumping, but they have started to sell more, haven't they, Valentin?
Oh, yes. No, there's no doubt about it, and they're hiding some of it through forward transactions. I mean, for sure, the marginal seller is down. The funny thing is that this sort of a risk-averse sentiment, the volatility coming out of China, is pushing private players in the West into treasury. So you haven't seen that great of an effect on the market. And so it's somewhat self-contained. I mean, obviously, if they want to sell a trillion tomorrow, then there would be a big effect. But if they keep on doing what they're doing, then it's a sort of self-fulfilling prophecy that the worse the number gets coming out of China, the more they sell, the more people get scared, and then the more they buy. So that's my theory why you shouldn't have a big spike up in the U.S. Long-term interest rate.
Well, here's another interesting question, though, and that is the growth rate in China slowing down. Admittedly, I mean, if you go with the 1.5% annual growth rate, which is not very high, if you go with that, it's pretty serious. But if you just assume, for example, that the growth rate in China couldn't stay at the level that it was at, could not maintain at those levels for any length of time. So maybe what's happening right now, people would argue, is a natural occurrence. Would you say that, Valentin?
Well, I would go as far and say it's an inevitable occurrence, mm-hmm. because if you keep on printing money, which what they have been doing through their banking system, you print debt, you print money, and invest it in things that don't generate growth, then at one point the party is just going to be over. And I think we've reached that point, and the people are trying to save what they can. And then you always have the same options. Either you kick the can, like Japan, or what China could do. I mean, I'm always hypothesizing about it, is that if they were to completely like reform everything, liberalize financial markets, write off all the debt, get rid of the corrupt communist political system at one point, then actually there'd be huge potential, because the Chinese people, they're not stupid, and they're pretty hardworking and ingenious. They're natural business people. Then you would have a huge upside potential. But given the endemic and corrupt power structure of the Communist Party, this is not likely to happen without some sort of political and social upheaval as well.
If we do see China continue down this road, which I think is a very distinct possibility, there are definitely going to be trickle-over effects into other countries around the world, simply because China has been such a big player and beacon of growth that other investors and other economists have looked to and said, you know, China's growing, and we've actually seen some of these emerging markets really start to get hit recently. I guess this all kind of plays into this global deflationary trend that I think we're going through right now, and I don't think that people can just look to China anymore and say, they'll sort it out, they'll start growing again. And that's why it's very important to pay attention to what's going on internationally in many other economies, just to see where, first of all, you should put your money in, and just to understand the turmoil that is out there. Valentin, always great chatting with you. Thank you for your time. Everybody stick around. We are going to be right back to wrap up.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
My name is Bill Bonner, and I have an important message. Right now, the highest levels of government are struggling against an inevitable crisis, but they're about to lose control. When this happens, it will rip our country apart in ways you never imagined, from where we shop to the family you want to protect. Look, I've made predictions like this before. A few years ago, I warned that the housing prices would collapse. Before that, I warned that dot-com companies would crash, and they did. Those who listened had a chance to save themselves, but this has nothing to do with the stock market. This will affect us all. I've posted a free video at disappearingdollar.com. Maybe you'll disagree with my conclusions, but first you need to watch this video and see the facts for yourself. You can watch the video for free right now by going to disappearingdollar.com. Again, that's disappearingdollar.com.
This is Sharon Hunt. Before using Heart and Body Extract, my energy level was very, very low. I could only walk a few feet, and and then would have to sit down. I was tired and lethargic, but after taking Heart and Body Extract, my energy level has improved greatly, and I can now walk longer distances without getting tired so fast. Thank you, Heart and Body Extract.
Learn the secrets of an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation at HBExtract.com.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't pick on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes! I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Hour of the weekend edition. We've got Peter Buchbar with us. Peter, before we start talking about other issues, financial issues, unemployment, et cetera, let's talk a little bit about your new venture. Just recently, about 60 days ago, you and some of your colleagues started an asset management firm, correct? Tell us about it.
Yes, it's in a wealth management investment advisory type model. Pretty straightforward, equities, fixed income, commodities, and other things. Asset allocation type focus, but models that can be catered to individual investors or institutions. And it's pretty straightforward, pretty plain vanilla, and just utilizing mine and my partner's 20 plus years of experience in the business to try to bring a different level of investment expertise to the average person or the average institution.
That's exciting, Peter, and I think we'll definitely be following up with you on that, and I hope we can help out however possible. That being said, let's move on to the key story, or I guess overwhelming trend this week that was driving the markets, and it all started with Janet Yellen speaking earlier in the week, and driven home by the better-than-expected jobs number. Before we get into the jobs number, this overwhelming narrative this week has been, will the Fed raise rates or will they not? And it seems to be right now that odds are that they will be raising rates in December.
That's what it really seems. I got the sense that after they did not raise in September, when the market teed them up for it, there was a sense of regret. Then we had some soft jobs numbers, and maybe they backtracked a little bit. But I think they now realize that they're running into a problem where the unemployment rate continues to fall. It's taking less and less jobs being created to make that happen, which means the labor market is getting tighter, which typically happens when you're 7 years into a recovery. You literally run out of warm bodies to hire. And also that they think they're beginning to realize is that in January, we start recycling out the sharp drop in energy prices, So January of this year, oil prices were about $45. Right now, it's about $45. So you will no longer get the decline in energy-related inflation. So that means if services inflation, which is running 2.5% within CPI, stays the same, just recycling out the sharp declines in energy prices, all of a sudden you're going to have a 2% headline inflation number next year. So I think the Fed is finally realizing that they're running out of runway here at zero, and they're kind of stuck, but they need to get off zero. And I think by hell or high water, they're going to do it, assuming that we don't get a collapse in the data over the next 6 weeks, which I don't necessarily foresee. So they should have done this 2 years ago. They should have easily done it last year when the economy was expanding, adding 260,000 jobs a month. So now, for the first time in Fed history, we're going to have an institution that's going to be raising interest rates with statistics that historically was a trigger for them to be cutting interest rates. So we have the ISM, for example, manufacturing net index of 50. Never before has the Fed raised rates with the index of 50. In fact, they've always been cutting. So this is a new situation. This is not a good situation, raising rates in a slowing economy, but it's the corner that they put themselves in, and I guess this is their way of trying to get out of it.
Now, Peter, you mentioned inflation, and that's been on, I think, the Fed's minds a lot, because they do have this dual mandate, and that is full employment and their target inflation rate. It's an interesting concept that you brought up, that now that the lower oil prices, energy prices in general, seem to be priced into this inflation calculation, that you're on board with them thinking that inflation will pick up next year and it will be the correct thing to do to move rates slowly. Do you think it'll be a process of them doing this?
They'll move slowly. The only thing that gets them to move quicker is not them themselves. It's the market that forces them, because the data points to it. Again, all you need is commodity prices to stop going down, and you're going to get a turn and the inflation number is higher. So, yeah, the Fed will tell us they're going to wait, and go slow. But a lot of that, to me, is going to be market-driven, and whether the market's going to allow them to take their time or not. Wage pressures are going to continue to grow, and companies, just by nature, if they're going to pay their employer a little bit more, they're going to try to get some of that back by higher prices. So there's going to be, in my opinion, in 2016, a stagflationary-type sniff in the air that investors should start paying attention to.
Well, you know, the thing that I get a bang out of when you look at the various headlines anyway, that I would have to say, you know, Joe Sixpack and his wife Sally Soccer Mom, that's about all they know about what's going on right now. But, I mean, as an example, right now a couple of the rates on the various wire services are kind of, I should say, a couple of the headlines are unemployment rate drops to 5% as job growth surges. Strong hiring drives unemployment rate to 5%. Well, you look at those two headlines, you know, and the first conclusion a person is going to come to is happy days are here again. But nobody mentions anything about the participation rate. And I think that's something that really needs to be considered right now, because the participation rate really isn't very high.
There's 94 million people that are not working that are able-bodied people to work. Now, granted, some of those people physically can or mentally can, but a lot of them likely can. And you can dig deeper and have a separate conversation of government policies and transfer payments that make it more attractive to not work than to work.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, that is certainly a problem, but at least from the Fed's perspective, I think they're finally waking up to the fact that a lot of these people are not coming back into the labor force unless wages go much higher and entice them to come back into the labor force, and therefore try to reverse that rise in the drop in participation. And what's most disconcerting about that decline in the participation rate is it's the 25 to 54-year-old cohort that is a big part of that. There's this misconception that, oh, it's dropping because baby boomers are retiring. But in fact, labor market participation for those above the age of 55 is actually going up. It's the 25 to 54-year-old, again, that is, many of them have decided not to work. And it's going to take higher wages to bring them back into the labor force. And I hope for the sake of the average employee that today's October read of 2.5% year-over-year and average hourly earnings, the highest since 2009, hopefully it's the beginning of a trend. From a corporate perspective, it's the end of this profit margin cycle, which took profit margins to record highs. That in that particular statistic will start heading down. So whereas the last 6 years was very good for Wall Street and was not good for Main Street, hopefully we're about – well, I should say we are going to see a reversal of that by higher wages, good for the employee, weaker profit margins, not so much for corporate profits.
So, Peter, talking about money management then, if we are going down this road, and let's assume that the Fed does go ahead with a small rate hike, and I think they will then follow that up with just continued talk. I don't know what the next step would be, but they have stated on many times people should be more concerned with the process of rate hikes, not just the first rate hike. What do you think people should be doing with their money, not only to protect it, but also to grow their wealth?
Well, right now it's extremely difficult in a world where you're 7 years into a bull market and almost every single asset class has gotten extraordinarily expensive and everything's been picked over. So you have this very expensive market. At the same time, rates are now going up. There's no more QE in the U.S. The profit cycle is pretty much ending. The credit cycle is pretty much ending. And we are on the cusp of a downturn of some sort, economically speaking, and in my opinion, asset price speaking. So there are times to play offense and there are times to play defense. And I remain of the belief that now is one of those times to be playing more defense. And defense is not a bad thing. There is no alternative to me is nonsense. Because in bull markets, yeah, of course, there's never an alternative to stocks. But in bear markets, there always is, and it's called cash. So I'm not saying go all cash. I'm just saying that people have to start paying much more attention to the valuation of the assets that they're paying for, that where they're buying, and to hold more cash, because cash is an optionality and is firepower for taking advantage of what I think will be cheaper prices if the world unfolds the way I think it will over the next 12 to 18 months.
You know, I think that's a really good comment about being defensive at this moment in time. I mean, I happen to agree wholeheartedly. There are a lot of alternatives to the particular, to the conventional markets. I personally right now am fairly comfortable in the short term within the conventional markets, however. But I think if you take a different time frame, a more lengthier time frame, I think you've got a very good point. Peter, always a pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to learn a little bit more about Peter's firm, simply click on his picture on our website. Thanks, Peter.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment. Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the Sacro Wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the Sacro Wedgie.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.